You're listening to the Prepper Recon Podcast. For questions, comments, and podcast archives, go to PrepperRecon.com. Ready-Made Resources has a limited number of PVS-30 night vision scopes for $4,700. These are the top-of-the-line night vision scopes used by the U.S. military, which normally sell for over $11,000. Turn your 12-hour rifle into a 24-hour rifle. Visit Ready-Made Resources to get your PVS-30 today. This is the second half of my guest appearance on Soaring Eagle Radio with Dr. Mike Spaulding. Enjoy the show.
Again, we go back to pastors and ministry leaders that must stand up and start speaking out about this. One of the things that I've been talking about with a lot of people when it comes to this context, talking about America and what's happened to our nation, what is happening, what's likely to continue to happen unless God intervenes, he raises up his remnant to put a halt to this, is pastors throughout the Old Testament, the religious leaders, God condemns them over and over again, especially in the book of Isaiah, Jeremiah, Amos,
Malachi,
constantly saying, you know, my people have wandered off because you've led them off. You've led them in error. You're not speaking the truth to them. You're worthless shepherds, and that's an indictment against shepherds. And I think the same thing holds true today, Mark, that pastors are going to have a lot to answer for, and they're actually being unfaithful to their calling if they're not denouncing this kind of stuff. Pastors, ministry leaders, if you're listening to this, this isn't a rant against you. This is a very strong exhortation. You may even think of it as a rebuke. I don't particularly see it as a rebuke. I'm encouraging you to do the right thing, and that is to begin to preach and teach the Bible and what it has to say. And if you'll do that, then you're going to see the error in all of these ideologies that are raising themselves up. Now, they have a common source. They're all demonic. All of this that's going on today, this women's, think of this, feminists now denounce and decry and defame Christianity and treat it like it's some kind of a plague, and yet they will unite with Islamic organizations, open borders organizations, that if those organizations got their way, Mark, then all of those women would be subjugated and would be treated just like they are in other places of the world. I mean, it's just mind-boggling that feminists don't see this.
Yeah, I agree 100%. Yeah, these are the people that are going to be, you know, you're going to lose your driving privileges. You know, you're not going to be able to leave the house without a male escort. You're going to be wrapped from head to toe, and you know, depending on what brand of Islam we get, you know, you may or might not be able to see your eyes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's exactly right. Well, the big news today was the WikiLeaks so-called Vault 7 dump, and I haven't had time to really dive into it and see what it is in its entirety and to really dig in and pick out any nuggets. But the one that I have been able to see, and of course it's all over, not just social media, but the alternative media, and that is that the Obama administration and most likely Mr. Obama himself authorized through FISA the illegal, although again they'll say it was not illegal because they had authority from the court to do this, but almost assuredly wiretapped Trump Towers, the Trump campaign, and their phones. Now the mainstream media, they're doing yeoman's work to try and keep the lid on all of this and suppress as much as they can, but they're not going to be able to do it because it's getting out, and I think there's going to be some responses from the Trump administration. What do you think, Mark?
I certainly hope so. And, you know, and just kudos to anybody that still has the motivation and gumption to still be a whistleblower in this day and age after the American public has showed them that they're not worthy of the sacrifice that they're making. You know, Edward Snowden came out, destroyed his life to reveal the PRISM program. And there were no protests. There was no, you know, most people didn't even take any measures to try to curtail the amount of information that they were volunteering through Facebook and Twitter and their cell phone and their Google searches and everything like that. They treated it like nothing. And even before Snowden, you know, we had the thin thread team with Drake and William Binney and Ed Loomis that were at NSA that built the prototype for the PRISM program prior to it being PRISM when it was supposed to be facing outward. And then when it was turned – and then when the NSA took the technology that they developed and turned it inward to spy on American citizens, they stood up, spoke out. Every single one of them had their doors kicked in. They were all treated like common criminals because they were trying to stand up for the Constitution, and the American public did absolutely nothing on either one of those events. And I can't imagine that they'll do anything now. But still, to whoever the whistleblowers are that have given that information to WikiLeaks, I applaud you and I appreciate it, even though I know the rest of my compatriots are more interested in the shack.
Yes. Yeah. Boy, that's a sad commentary right there, Mark. Very, very sad.
We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. Katie Armor offers affordable body armor, including level 3 trauma plates made of AR-500 steel. They can endure multiple rounds from pistols and rifles up to 7.62 NATO. Order today from katiearmor.com. That's CATIArmor.com.
In the Days of Elijah, Book 2, Wormwood, by best-selling author Mark Goodwin. Everett and Courtney Carl have survived the Seven Seal Judgments, which devastated the planet. But have their efforts to stay alive been in vain? The next series of judgments to fall upon the earth are known as the Seven Trumpets. Within this series of cataclysms is the earth's collision with a giant asteroid known as Wormwood. The comet will poison much of the planet's fresh water supplies, making survival nearly impossible. With each subsequent trumpet judgment, their odds of living grow slimmer. If Everett and Courtney are to survive, they'll need perseverance, faith, and a great outpouring of providence from the Almighty. Buy your copy of The Days of Elijah, Book 2, Wormwood, in paperback, Kindle, or audio edition from Amazon.com today.
Well, let's chat about your writing. And you are what I would call a prolific writer.
Well, thank you.
I don't understand how you crank out the book after book after book. And listen, folks, if you haven't read any of Mark Goodwin's books, you are missing out. And so let me just give a quick rundown. The Economic Collapse Chronicles, 3 books. The first one entitled American Exit Strategy. The second one, American Meltdown and American Reset, was the third one. Now, that'd be a great place to start, those three. And from there, then you went, I believe the Days of Noah series came out, wouldn't it, Mark?
Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah, the Days of Noah. Well, let's chat a little bit about the Economic Collapse Chronicles before we move on, just in case listeners are not familiar. I think most of them know you. I mean, this is your third appearance on the show, and we've chatted about this before, but I'd like to give them a little teaser, if you would, about the Economic Collapse Chronicles. What will they find in those three books?
Well, that That was my first series, and you ask how I do it, and all glory and honor and power to God, because he's the one that gives me the inspiration for it, and I could do absolutely none of this on my own, so he gets all the credit and all the glory. And if there's any mistakes or typos in there, that was me, but everything else was God. But that series is about a couple living in South Florida. They're sort of preppers, and they think they're in pretty good shape until the economy starts coming crashing down, and the dollar becomes worthless, and all of a sudden nobody's taking credit cards and or ATMs or debit cards or anything else, the cities are being looted for the few supplies left on the shelf, and the country just descends into complete and total anarchy, which, you know, is fiction for us, but not for Venezuela. The folks down have just experienced a real economic collapse. And there was an article out the other day that the average Venezuelan is losing 18 pounds a year due to food shortages. So now this isn't necessarily everybody that was 250 pounds. You know, some of the people that are this is an average. So this is the 12-year-old girl that was maybe only 90 pounds to begin with. Or, you know, the 7-year-old boy that was, you know, 50 or 60 pounds to begin with. So this is catastrophic, and this is, it's absolutely horrific. And the people are doing anything they can do down there to get food. And, you know, the looting and all of that, that's pretty much subsided because there's just nothing left to loot. And the lines, it was a little bit more of a slow motion meltdown in Venezuela than what I've pictured in the Economic Collapse Chronicles. But it's pretty much exactly the if you took what happened in Venezuela and compressed it, it's almost verbatim what happens in that series. And the only people that are able to survive in the Economic Collapse Chronicles are the people that they get out of the population centers. They get the farmable land. They form communities. They take responsibility for their own security, and they begin producing their own food. And you know, some of them had the wherewithal and the common sense to make provisions before everything completely melted down. And they got by, but just barely.
Yeah, so if that doesn't whet your appetite, I don't know what will. So that's the Economic Collapse Chronicles. And again, folks, you can get these on Mark's website, prepperrecon.com. Just go there and you'll see the links to click the book images there. After that series then came The Days of Noah, and that is currently three books in that series. Is there a fourth coming?
Well, the Days of Noah culminated with I guess this is a little bit of a spoiler alert for anybody that hasn't read The Days of Noah yet, but The Days of Noah ends with a rapture, and there was a lot of folks that really enjoyed Tim LaHaye's and Jerry B. Jenkins' series, the Left Behind series. I really liked that series. And it's part of what inspired me to write Days of Noah, because, you know, it really represented the American pre-trib viewpoint of, you know, well, we're going to leave before anything bad happens. Well, you could be pre-trib, and I think that there's some very strong arguments for a pre-tribulation rapture. I see some other strong arguments from other folks for a mid-trib rapture, but you could hang on as tight as nails to your pre-trib theology and still see things get very, very dicey in this country between now and the return of the king. And that's what people aren't seeing, is that we can have a pre-trib rapture. I'll agree with that. Yes, I absolutely believe in the possibility of a pre-trib rapture. But things could get horrific in this country before that happens. That's right. It's the folks that are in North Korea right now, the Christians there, they didn't get a pre-trib rapture before the persecution came. The Christians that are being beheaded and burned on stakes and crucified and the horrific things that are being done to their wives and daughters in front of them did not get a pre-trib rapture. The people that are in a Saudi Arabian jail right now, of course, you know, the Saudis were big funders of the Clinton Foundation, which, you know, which according to the mainstream media was not any type of a problem, you know, but, if you're an American diplomat speaking to a Russian diplomat, then, and you're in the Trump camp, then that's a huge problem. So, I don't want to get off on a rabbit trail there, but we really, really got some double standards in our, mainstream media. And, and it's, it's absolutely horrific. And folks need to just turn it off and, and find another source for your news, whether you go to Breitbart or whether you go to Drudge or listen to, InfoWars, you know, there's, Newsmax. There's plenty of other places out there to get your news, and just turn that junk off because it's, it is propaganda and it's filth and you need to get away from it. Just like you do, so much of the stuff that's coming out of Hollywood right now.
Yeah.
Where, what was I talking about?
The days of Noah.
Right.
That picked up and the three books led then to the rapture. And folks, I can tell you from my own personal testimony, I read those three books. Well, I read the Economic Collapse series too. But I read Mark's three books on the days of Noah. Found them very, very good, riveting. In fact, they're books that once you start reading, you won't want to put them down. And I know that's a worn out phrase that a lot of people use, but I'm serious, folks. And in my own family, I've got four daughters, they pass those books around and they can't wait. And in fact, I've got one daughter, I was telling Mark earlier, I've got one daughter. She doesn't want to read the first book until she knows all of them are out. So, because she says once I start reading, I don't want to stop reading them until I get through them. So that's how good they are. So anyway, go to PrepperRecon.com and you can get those. The Days of Noah, now three books. And so you said book three, the Perdition, in the Days of Noah series, that ended with the rapture.
That's so, right, As I would expect it to be, with the real rapture, there's always going to be some knuckleheads that get left behind. So I had a huge outpouring of readers that wanted to know what happened to, the CIA analyst, Everett Carroll, who, you know, resisted and resisted and resisted until the last moment. And then, when everyone was caught up, of course, at that point, he believes, and it's not too late for salvation, but it is too late to avoid the tribulation. So, so that's where he's at the end of that series. And I had so many people that wanted to know what's happening with Everett, you know, how does he fare through the next 7 years?
Yeah.
And so then I started the Days of Elijah for to explain the rest of that story. And he's having a pretty rough time of it, let me tell you. You want to get out as early as possible.
Book one, The Days of Elijah, Apocalypse. That's book one. It's out now, so you can get that. And then most likely by the time this is aired, Mark, book two will have been released just a few days prior to this airing.
That's right.
It'll
be out in paperback, Kindle, and audio edition, which the audio usually comes out about a month later, but Kevin Pierce, my audiobook producer, was able to get ahead of the game a little bit with this one, and we were able to get it in and get it approved in time for it to come out with the rest of the editions. So, and that's called Wormwood.
Oh boy, that's a good one. That's a good name. Good title. Well, Mark's website, again, is PrepperRecon.com. He's got all kinds of interesting guests on his podcast. if you're looking for a good Bible study, you've got a Bible study group that you have, you're looking for some good material, Mark does a Sunday Bible study and puts it on his website. And in fact, I'm looking at one right now from this past Sunday. Who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? Brief study in Psalm 18, verses 25 and 26. So, well, Mark, what else is going on with you?
Well, we're just hunkering down and keeping our eyes on the ball and, you know, trying to serve the King and stay aware of what's happening, because there's a lot of moving pieces right now, spiritually, politically, and financially. I think that we've seen huge uptick after Trump was elected in the markets, and of course real estate really got a really big pop. I think they said nationally sales had increased, and I think this was for January, 7% year over year, and inventories fell 7% year over year. So I would expect we'll be seeing some action in real estate prices. And, you know, all this money that was printed while Obama was in office has to go somewhere, because it's been hiding under the mattress and in the back of a cave, scared to death that if it popped its green little head out, you know, the government was going to snatch it and take it away, because, you know, that was his policy. And you know, Obama went in, the M2 money supply was $7 trillion. And when he left, it was really, really close to 14. So, that extra set, when you double the money supply, you've got the same amount of goods and services. And now suddenly you have twice as much money chasing that same amount of goods and services. Theoretically, prices are going to double, but that doesn't even take into account for the velocity of money, which is, you know, if I take a dollar and I buy a soda pop from you, and then you take the dollar and you buy a pack of gum, and the guy that you bought the gum from buys an ice cream, you know, that $1 just created $3 worth of economic impact. So, we don't want to think about what prices would do if we started seeing that extra $7 trillion in currency chasing all of these goods and services, and with the velocity of money and that type of economic impact. We don't want to think about where prices would go with the amount of money that's already here. And, you know, for all the things that I like about Trump, you know, and I see the need for infrastructure. I think for infrastructure spending, I think the Oroville Dam shows us the catastrophic state of our infrastructure. But I don't know that he really understands what's going to happen if we continue to borrow and spend money that we don't have. You know, I see the need for these things, but you really got to be cautious about the financing of all of this, and you know, revamping our military. You know, he did a great job with, you know, renegotiating some with Boeing to get us some better prices and things like that. But I think all of that needs to be done first, because this military budget at $700 billion, and then you add in all the black box spending that goes into NSA, CIA, and everything else, and it's way more than $1 trillion a year.
That's right.
You know, this stuff's got to get cut back, and we got to figure out a way to do more with less, and we can't keep thinking about fighting the last battle. You know, China and Russia and a lot of other countries are thinking about what can we do, you know, how can we cripple America with a computer bug, you know, and we can just get some kid from high school and buy him a couple extra pizzas and let him write some programs. And, you know, they're figuring out ways to do more with less, you know, and they're thinking strategically, and they're not even really thinking about, yes, they've got some advanced military equipment, and I think that if we knew everything that we had, I think that we would see that we're probably still in much better shape than most of those guys. But whatever they're doing it with a heck of a lot less money than we are.
Yeah, that's right.
And we've got to figure that out.
Some good points. That's right. Yeah, yeah. Those are some very good points. And really, folks, that lends a lot of support to the idea that you need to be doing what you can do right now to be prepared for any kind of economic. Not worry about it right now. Let's talk about runaway inflation. Let's talk about worthless money. Let's talk about what are you going to do if you can't afford to buy food. So probably should be putting into place some plans to make sure that your food family for the short term at least, and that includes water. So there are ways that you can go about doing that. In fact, Mark, I think you have don't you have a 7-step survival plan that you give away to people for free?
I do. And you can just go to PrepperRecon.com. There's a little tab right there on the top of the blog. It says click here for your free PDF. Click it, fill out your email, and we'll deliver the free PDF for the 7-step survival plan straight to your inbox. And it just kind of prioritizes everything, breaks it all down so that it's not such an overwhelming task of having too much to do, and you can take step one, and you can make sure that you've got all the boxes there checked, and then you can move on to step two, and then on down the line as you become increasingly more prepared. I've personally been buying gold and silver from JM Bullion for over 2 years. They offer the best prices over spot that I can find, and I've never had a problem with an order. If you're looking to trade in some of your fiat paper for real money, check out jmbullion.com today.